Psycho Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 457 of the Motorcycle Men podcast. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026. Hey, we're here in the V-Twin Cafe once again. And joining me today on the podcast, we're taking a detour off the main highway, if you will, and into the wonderfully odd, clever, and cinematic world of filmmaker John Puch. You may know him from his long directing career, his indie gems like the Route 30 trilogy, and his decades of work in film and television. But today, we're zeroing in on something a little different. His hilarious, low-budget on purpose, high-charm motorcycle videos on YouTube. These shorts blend road trip Americana, deadpan humor, and the kind of creative freedom only a rider with a camera and a mischievous streak can pull off. We'll talk about the bikes, the destinations, the characters, the comedy, and the craft behind these deceptively simple moto films. So grab your helmet, settle in, and let's roll into the world of Puch Films. All right, boys and girls, we're back here in the V-Twin Cafe. Joining me today, all the way from Los Angeles, Mr. John Puch of Puch Films. John, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Very, very glad to be here, Ted. I'm a listener, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, you're a listener by proxy, I suppose. I guess because Tim James urged you to listen.
Yeah, I just found you recently, and I'm so happy. I like your jam, Ted.
Well, thank you, sir. Actually, this is very interesting. This is like totally. Like a little sway from what we usually do here on the podcast. So, for those of you who don't know who John is, and I'm sure many of you don't, John's going to tell us. John, tell us who you are, what you do, and I'm going to say this: your motorcycle self.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I am John Puch, and I am an interesting motorcyclist because, like everyone or many people, I started when I was a teenager with mini bikes and, you know, dirt bikes. What I am in real life is I used to be an actor in television and then come from a showbiz family. And then I transitioned to directing in my 20s and 30s, and I've been a director of television and movies ever since. And which, you know, leads to a lot of home movies along the way and videos. And now I pass the time by making some, you know, ride videos like we all see. They might be a little different than most, but that's sort of me in a nutshell. Started young and now I'm old and still riding.
Well, age is relative, right? It's like you're only as old as you think you are, right?
Correct.
Not as old as you feel, because if you go by that, then we're all, you know, 200 years old. How many bikes do you own right now?
Right now, the number is low, Ted. I only have 3 in the stable.
Oh, my
and
God.
Two are scooters and one is a real motorcycle.
so scooters aren't real motorcycles.
Well, they are, but you know, people look at them and go, "Oh, isn't that cute?" You know, I have a Honda Trail, you know, and I have a Honda Super Cub, which is basically the same bike except in street clothes. And then my real motorcycle or my big bike is a Triumph Tiger Rally Pro 900 Rally Pro.
You sent me a photograph of all the bikes you've owned. Yes. And it's the number is 17, but you said that's even wrong.
Yeah, there's the new Rally Pro that I acquired in October is not on that picture collage I sent you. I have to go back in after this interview and put the green one back on. It's similar to the one above that I the 21 Tiger. It's pretty similar to that, except it's a 25.
Oh, so now, so the, actually the number is 18 motorcycles you've had. And this is since 2017, you said?
28. Well, no, as an adult. I started out when I was, you know, in 19.
Well, define adult.
Yeah, as an define an adult. when I moved to the east, northeast in 2016, I felt it was safe to have a motorcycle again. And so in 2018, I started buying adult motorcycles, meaning, you know, big ones.
Oh, yeah.
You could ride on the road. So,
yeah.
Because I felt safer there than here in Los Angeles. It's really it's a terror to ride a motorcycle in an urban environment for me.
I can imagine.
So when we acquired the Northeast property, I felt safer out there on the country roads and started back at it.
Yeah,
and
man.
And then I got back into riding BDRs and dirt roads and forest roads, which I used to do as a kid on those other dirt bikes I owned.
Wow, and you've done the BDRs, as we talked about earlier before we came on.
Yeah, I've done a few of them. I've done five or six. I've done mostly the Eastern BDRs several times. I think the Mabder is my favorite, the Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah?
I've done that many times. Rich and I, my riding buddy, we meet up usually once a year, and we hit one of the BDRs in that area. PA Wild's also a favorite.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've done that a couple times. It just never gets old. I love the Pennsylvania riding.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm from originally. I grew up, you know, it's funny. Coincidentally, I grew up, my hometown in Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, is literally the Mid-Atlantic BDR runs through there.
Oh, no way, really?
It runs on the fire roads that me and my pals on our little Suzuki 185s used to ride on.
Wow.
You know, when we were kids. So, like, when the BDR, when I looked at the BDR track and it went through there, I went, hey, wait a second. That's my, that's, I
live. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm half a mile away. So, that was pretty, pretty fun.
Wow.
So,
have you done the entire East Coast thing? The Southern, you haven't done that yet, no? No?
No, that's too long in the saddle for me. I like to break it up. So we'll do half a full route, you know, and then go back and do the other half if possible. Like, I haven't done the bottom half of the Southeast, and I'm not sure I will, because that's a long trek to get down there. And when you have Pennsylvania, New York, and New England near you, it's really it's tough to beat that, that riding. It's like, it's so beautiful. And so much closer, you know.
Well, you could start in the north and work your way south.
I know. But that's a long, man. I did once 7 straight days on the first one we did, full complete.
Yeah.
Northeast was the one I've done at the same time from start to finish. And my butt was so sore, I can't tell you. And I was aching, and I was like, wow, this is, you got to be in shape to do these every day. So I need more. I can't imagine doing bottom to top of the continent, but I love watching these guys that do it.
Okay. For context, because you mentioned it, you're in film and TV. Why don't you tell us some of the movies and television shows you've done, you've worked on, so that our listeners get an idea.
Well, I seem to, when I was as an actor, I did pretty well in the 70s and 80s. I was on a show called One Day at a Time, which was a Norman Lear program, and that dates me right there. And then I also appeared on Family Ties and a lot of guest spots. And then when I started directing, I built up my resume and became pretty good in the half hour comedy world. And I did, you know, Grounded for Life was my first show. I did Scrubs.
Scrubs
Town.
Is great.
Yeah. I did Cougar Town. I did Ugly Betty. I did, what else? The Middle. There was another show. My Name is Earl. You know, things, you know, all those big shows like that. And interspersed were a lot of independent movies and a few of my own that I made. And, you know, and a couple of miniseries and a bunch of Hallmark to TV movies. So it's sort of journeyman, you know, freelancer guy, and never really, sought the limelight or the celebrity, just like my parents taught me, and so I just sort of worked head down working in the coal mines out here, you know.
It kept you busy, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So if you need to look at my resume, you can go to my website. I have most of the highlights there, putchfilms.com.
All right. Now, from that, you have created these funny motorcycle videos on YouTube. They got a very distinct tone to them, part travelogue, part satire, part filmmaking experiment. Now, what originally inspired you to start creating these moto-centric shorts?
Well, the guy in all the movies with me, his name Rich Montgomery, and we found each other through a mutual friend and started riding, and I got him involved in dirt riding. But I was obsessed with the Sterling Norine's movies.
They are great.
Yeah, they're incredible. I mean, you know, and it was some of the best moto documentary I've ever seen. And of course, that's how I discovered the BDR and who they are. I mean, I saw them in an ad in a magazine, and then I looked them up, and I went, oh my God, look at this video, and I can see the whole movie. So, you know, I was fascinated by those. And the MABDR was the first one I had purchased or seen or whatever. Mm-hmm. Back then, I think you donated so you could watch them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we decided we got to do the MABDR, you know, we just went out there and did it. And me having gear and equipment, which we brought, you know, we just started just goofing off on the trip. We'd stop at a place and go, hey, I think they stopped here. This is where, you know, they I remember this, you know, the Grand Canyon of PA or something. And so I say, Rich, give me hold the camera on me. I got a bit here. And I would just like, you know, just ad lib something like, this is where Ina Thorne hung her socks. Or, this is where that Toratec dude would do this. And we would just come up with stuff on the spot. And then interspersed with, you know, drive-bys and, you know, stuff. We didn't even have a drone then, or I didn't even have a drone then. And, you know, cut something together because I'm an editor too, and posted it. And then, I don't know, somehow Tim saw it, or we sent it to them. You know, it was an homage for sure.
Sure,
we were like, you know, putting the BDR, you know, movie at the top of the chain, and we were trying to be like them, and we nodded to that, so... anyway, so it Tim saw, they laughed, they thought it was great, and then we moved on to the next one. And as the next one happened, the second MABDR one we did, we started scripting some things, like, you know, just jotting them down. And that's when the drone hits started happening, because everybody was using drones and we didn't have one. So what could we do? And pretend one hit Richie, and then before you know it, I'm buying a drone, and we're doing, you know, Northeast BDR was the big one because it was the longest, and we had bikes flying in the air. We had Tim James as a guest star levitating Richie's bike out of the ditch, and, you know, just dumb stuff, you know, real Anchorman stuff. And mainly it just became fun to do on the ride because, as my friend Devin, who appears as the third stooge in many of these, he says, oh, it's so much fun to do something other than just, you know, ride, stop, eat, ride, stop, go to sleep, go to a hotel, whatever. I go, really? I said, you're not tired of doing this? He goes, no, it's fun. So, you know, it became, each one became more of a challenge to come up with a, you know, the same style, but, you know, new bits and new themes. And, you know, we're getting long in the tooth there, Ted, with the, you know, we're just becoming like any other TV show now. We're doing the same thing over and over again. So I've got to find.
That's all right. That's okay. You know,
something new to do.
What's that saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, you know, we'll do it as long as it's fun to do. And yeah. And we even did one for the MOA, the BMW MOA guys saw it and liked it, and he asked us to do a video for them of their MOA rally in Virginia a few years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
we made a serious one. Yeah. You know, for him. I made him, you know, cut him a beautiful, you know, 10-minute about the whole thing. And then we did our own as well, you know, inside. We did a Rich and John, you know, joint and did our own. But it's it's been a great intro to the community, because I'm so entrenched with BDR now. I support them. I'm I donate every year. I go to the fundraiser sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
And then Tim and Ina asked me to shoot and direct the PA Wilds, legit PA Wilds documentary they do for their exes, their BDR exes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun, and that came out good. But you know, no humor in that. You've gotta be, you know, gotta be serious.
Gotta be serious. Yeah, well, when you're shooting these motorcycle videos, how much is planned versus improvised?
You have to be open to all improvisation. Like, I give the guys an outline,
yeah,
of all the bits we got to do, and we just know we have to try and shoot that one. And they're not, you know, not a lot of the dialogue is scripted. Some of it is, but most of it isn't. It's like, okay, at an overlook, we got to do this bit, Richie puts a wig on, or you know, Richie gets, you know, whatever it may be. But you know, along the way, you're on the comms and you're riding in the beautiful country, and you're just goofing off on the headset, and you know, you may see something that go, oh my god, look at that, we gotta, let's pull over and do something there. And then that's, you know, sometimes gold comes out of that.
Yeah,
so other times nothing,
right? Know? Now in a way you kind of storyboard them like you do your film projects.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's good to have a goal, and now that we've done them so often, I'm like, just don't want to do it as much as the other guys. I'm like going, all right, can we just? I'd love to be able to ride and not worry about all this gear anymore. Yeah. You know, and like pulling cameras out and doing stuff. It's just like, it'd be so great to ride one day or half a day and not have to, you know, worry about getting shots. But you know, it's just the way it goes.
So you kind of like, in a sense, you kind of like let the ride dictate the story.
Yes. Right. Yes. Here's an example. Okay. In a movie called Fracas in the Forest, which was about the PA Wilds.
Okay.
There's a tree on MA5 near Kings Gap State Forest, which has an appendage coming out of it that looks like the male genitalia, and we called it the dick tree.
I actually have it on the screen right now.
Yeah. And my friend Steve showed me that one day, because that's kind of near where I grew up in PA, I said, this is incredible, this has to be in one of the movies because it's amazing. So we came up with a bit to do that, so we did that bit, and we're continuing the ride on the Mabder, and we're riding along, and Devin says, hey, stop. And we stopped the bikes, and he pointed to a tree, and it looked like the female equivalent of a tree. and he goes, look, it's the JJ tree, you know. And I went, oh my god, this is. So I said, all right, let's bust out the cameras and do a line here, like, we can't believe there's another one. So that's how that bit came about, was an ad lib. And the line that Devin said was, do you think the dick tree knows about this? and that was the gag. And so that was a nice, fun, you know, that was a nice accident, and that was ad-libbed. And so that was the
so
example.
It works.
And
there
I
you
apologize
go.
To anybody who was offended by the fact, but there is they call it, on Google Maps, it's called the treeness. Okay.
And if you if see you now, I gotta look it up.
If you look it up on Google Maps, if you see the video I did, Fracas in the Forest, two videos ago, there's a whole sequence about this tree, and it is there. It exists.
Oh, that's too and, funny.
And Court Butler, when I told him about it, I saw him at a wedding, Tim's wedding, I told Court about it. And he goes, oh my god. He goes, can you get me navigational, can you get me the longitude latitude on that? I go, yeah. So I sent it to him. He goes, I might have to secretly put that in the next version of the map. He was cool.
Oh,
whether
man.
He meant it or not, who knows? But but the man, the Butler map guy.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I've had him on the show.
Oh, no, he's a great guy.
Yeah. The bikes that you're using on these now, there's a variety of bikes in this. Now, are you picking these bikes, or what bikes are you riding most often, and how do you choose which one, depending upon the tone or the gag, or is it just like one bike?
No, it's whatever bike you own. Really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Rich used to have. Rich did the Mabder on a street bike originally.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he did it on a Yamaha Tracer.
No way.
Tires, and he bolted a bash plate onto it, and that was part of the hilariousness of hearing Rich on the comms, was because he would bottom out on almost everything, and you'd hear him go, "Damn it!" You know,
yeah.
You know, you go, "You okay, Rich?"
Yeah. Oh my God.
It just bottomed out. But anyway, then he got a GS, so he moved to the ADV world with a GS 800.
Yeah.
And I've had the Tigers. That's what I use. And when Devin comes, because he's coming from California, and when he joins us, I had two Tigers at one time, and I lent him, you know, he rode one of mine. But lately, he's been using RyderShare to rent bikes, and he's done it twice now to great success.
Yeah, it works.
He rents. Yeah, he just brings his helmet and his gear, and he rents the bike, and we take off from the hotel, and we're on the track. It's amazing. It's a legit. It's fun logistically.
Yeah.
Also to plan. I like logistically planning my ride, and I like also planning, you know, I'm planning the shoot on the ride, and you know, it's fun. It's fun for me because it's very organizational, like you would do if you were producing a movie or something, or you just need to be incredibly organized, you know, about everything.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm the trail master. I make, you know, I take the tracks, I modify them to our route, you know, because I like to stay in hotels. I don't like to do camping.
What? No camping?
So, no camping. No. I need I like a hot shower. And
hot showers are great.
Place
yeah.
to sit, you know. Yeah. I it's part of the vacation.
Yeah.
So, but
some people might say, hey, you got to get the full experience, right?
Yeah. But whatever bike you have is what you're going to ride with. So
that's
we
great.
All, you know, I keep a. I enjoy the dirt roads more than the pavement for me.
I can understand.
I really, that's why the BDR is perfect. It's like they just do it for you. You know, Bryce Stevens, and he's got the madman out west who's creating all these routes in his mind and getting them made. It's fantastic what those guys are doing. I'm a huge fan, huge supporter.
Yeah.
And I help them in any way I can.
Well, as I understand, the East Coast ones, the Southeast, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast, seem a little more sedate compared to the Western BDRs.
So. Yeah, they look to be. I mean, well, I know the Northeast has some gnarly stuff, and so does Chattahoochee, but which I've ridden, and I can attest to gnarly stuff. But yeah, I have, you know, the only Western one I've done is parts of the California, the first California, the Southern California, and the sand was a killer. But yeah, all the other, the videos that I watch that Sterling and Bilecki make are, you know, yeah, they're very remote, and there's not a lot of tree canopy unless you get up into the Pacific Northwest.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess they are more gnarly. That Colorado one, you know.
Oh man.
Over with the Ophir Pass and all that stuff. I mean, it looks totally scary because of all the traffic it must get.
I bet.
You know, ATVs and side-by-sides and Jeeps, you know, you're every corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you were talking about some of your other, your co-hosts, the folks that would join you on these, reoccurring characters or friends would pop on for, I guess we call it comedic moments. Who are these actors and writers who frequently collaborate with you, and do you direct them differently compared to your feature films and TV?
Oh, that's, you are so good on that one. Yes, you bet I do. I order them around because they're my friends.
And you can.
Yes, I am not polite. I go, what are you doing that for? You know, do that again. What's the matter with you? You know. No, the Rich Montgomery is our comedy relief. He's Curly, basically, and I
found Three Stooges reference. Okay, great.
Yeah, it's great that I found somebody that will do all the. He doesn't mind falling on the ground. He doesn't mind wearing, you know, being silly. He's into that kind of humor. So, like, I'm grateful that I don't have to do that as an actor. I really do. I'm Mo, basically. Okay. I'm Mo Howard.
Okay.
Yeah, so Rich is been in all of them, and he's loves riding, and he's a tough guy, and we'll go for anything. Like I said, we'll And he's an act. He was an actor. He's oh, a okay. guy. He works for the government now, but he's been a theater guy.
A different type of acting.
for years. So it's like you give him some dialogue and stuff. He's an actor, so he's able to do it. My friend Devin, who has joined us in many of them, is actually a filmmaker friend of mine, and he's a big shot in California in the car industry because his company does car demos and at conventions and, you know, all internal industrial stuff. And so he's putting on, all manner of stuff for the car business. And Devin is an exceptional rider. He's the best rider of the three. He's a California boy, dirt bike, KTM guy, Husqvarna guy. He's the guy in California. When you live in the city, everybody has a 500 to 700 cc single, and they all put them in the back of their pickup, and on the weekends they go out to the desert or the mountains, and they do is just ride and ride and ride. That's Devin. So he's very, very skilled rider, and so he'll come and he participates, and he's very brave. I give him the Larry stuff to do, and of the three of us, and he loves it. He doesn't mind being stupid on camera. So,
but as far as I can tell, you don't have a whole crew following you around with all kinds of gear and everything.
No, it's so different. It's great. It's an iPhone and a couple of action cameras and a drone. And that's the way I like it. I'm so tired of equipment. And, and now with the technology of these small camera, sensors now, it's perfectly legitimate for YouTube. But, and then along the way, I've had some cameos. Obviously, we parody the BDR a lot, or we lovingly make fun of them. So, I asked Tim, do you mind being in, the next one? And it was the Northeast BDR, and He appeared as hologram Tim James and appeared like Obi-Wan and levitated Richie's bike and then gave Devin some crotch powder or whatever the joke was, BDR Bond body powder or something. And Tim was great. And he's appeared in a few of them. He's in the latest one too. He comes and blasts a tree off the trail for us,
in the Southeast Snaps, I think.
Southeast Snaps. Yeah. So, and then I got Ina in there a couple times. I had Ina punching Richie out because he was tattooing his arms with Ina hearts on his arm, and she just had him deck him. It was great, she loved it. She loved it. So that's why, in these, the videos are very inside baseball, because if you don't know what a BDR is, you really don't know who Jocelyn Snow is when I reference her, or Ina, or Tim, or any of those guys. In this last one, I got Bilecki in there. Michael Bilecki is one of their filmmakers. Just a funny guy. I said, hey, this would be a really great bit if you did this. And I sent him the notes, and he sent me back the most perfect takes ever. So committed and so funny, and I was just like, this is great. I love this guy.
That's awesome.
Anyway, anytime we can get a cameo from any of those guys is fun. I've had Paul Gillian in one of them.
All right.
They're just good chaps for and they're good sports, and I don't know, I just, I have great love and respect for them all. None of this is based in malice of any kind. It's all super silly and respectful.
Oh, that's good. So, that's what's supposed to be fun. Now, speaking of your humor, now your humor plays off a lot of whatever environment you find yourself in, whether if it's a diner, gas station, a small town, or whatever. Do you pick these destinations and locations for each video, or are they chosen for the ride, for the comedy, or both?
You can't pick them unless you know about them. Like, I knew about the Dick Tree, so I knew that was a sketch and we would hit it, and I knew where we'd hit it. But pretty much everything else is a general. I mean, if we know we're going on Southeast Saps, the theme is we're going to ride to Mecca to the Barber Motorcycle Museum in Birmingham. So we know that's the That's the goal of the movie. So at the beginning, you got to set it up. So we set it up in a parking lot and talk about it and do a bit. But no, normally it's like you have, you just go, okay, we got to do this either along the trail, at a lookout, at a hotel parking lot, or at a specific landmark that we know we're going to stop at, you know, like the barber or something.
Right.
And you just sort of, whatever you come up with has to be generally able to fit into those locations.
It's kind of thought out in advance, but
a little bit.
So yeah, does anything ever happen? Like if you show up at a gas station and then, wow, we got a bit here, let's do something.
Yes, definitely that happens all the time. Okay. You pass by something and like the brakes go on and you go, oh, we got to go up there and look at that lookout. What, there might be something up there. And you get up there and there is, and or not. And, you know, or you'll see some landmark that you didn't expect. And is it worth pulling over and doing something there? Like where there's in my in all the movies as of late, I like to do a song parody. You know, where I take a song and I change the lyrics and have either me or a friend of mine sing some stupid Perry Como like sounding thing, and the lyrics are funny. But in those montages, there's always some shot of us dancing or doing a kick line or doing something stupid, and the drone is pulling away. So that's an example of, like, you know, pull over at a BDR you know, landmark and do like a few dance lines, you know, for the montage later. And, you know, so that sometimes you're looking for that along the way, but you don't know what it's going
to
be.
Ah, so there is a little writing in this, because you have to obviously write the lyrics for these songs.
Well, you do that later.
Yeah,
I do all that sitting in front of the edit, you know, the edit.
All that post-production stuff, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
it's fun. Yeah.
There's like this subtle filmmaking craft behind all this silliness, right? I guess some framing, editing, even some sound design, obviously. Is there any techniques from your directing career that you bring to these small, funny videos with you?
Yeah, a lot. It makes it go so much faster because I know how to stage and shoot a dialogue scene between three people. And I know the most efficient way to get it done or you know, take the least amount of time. And then, a lot of effect stuff that, you know, it's considered old, really old these days, can be done with just a locked off camera and a split screen, you know, which is what you used to do in the 90s before there was digital effects.
Yeah.
So, you know, I use green screen. I've learned all about that in my career, how to use, you know, special effects and compositing.
Yes, I saw.
Yeah.
I saw some of that stuff you're doing. I was like, wow. And I'm going like, as a YouTube guy myself, I'm going like, how did he do that?
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with a JPEG from the internet, you know, and animate it. For instance, anytime Richie gets hit by a drone, it's a JPEG I've been using for years, you know, that just flies in and bounces off. It's going so fast, you just put a sound effect on it, and you're good.
Oh, man, that's funny.
But, it's informed me and makes it fun and easier, all of it. And I just don't want to just do a ride video with just miles of trail and some drive-bys and guys talking. So for me, I just want to play with the equipment and play with my editing system and go, it'd be really great if I had the three of us flying in through the sky on our motorcycles, you know, because Tim James waved a magic wand and got us to the end of the route. And so, you know, I shoot the background plate with the drone. I put us in front of green screen in front of my garage and shoot us on our bikes pretending to fly and put composite them in and boom, I look at them.
And you've got an ET moment.
Yes, I've got an ET moment, which just makes me laugh and it makes it enjoyable for me as I create it. It's fun if other people enjoy it too.
Yeah. Have you edited in a Sasquatch at any point, a Bigfoot in any of your movies?
No, but you've given me a great notion. Thank you.
I'm glad I could help. Because I'm thinking, very, like, why isn't there one in here?
I've done Bigfoot in movies. I did a movie called Route 30. Takes place in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And there's a Bigfoot story in there. And I love that. I love the Bigfoot stuff. But, yeah, we should do that. Really should.
Absolutely. Now your motorcycle videos, they feel kind of like a mini adventures. And some of them feel like just sketches. Now, do you see them as a creative outlet separate from your feature films, or are they basically part of the same storytelling muscle?
No, they're so, I call them my mental health films. They're so
okay.
They're so meant to just stay creative and light, and not be serious. And in fact, I enjoy that even if we get somewhere and like there's a particular moment I've planned to shoot and you just don't feel like shooting it that day, don't need to shoot it. No one's expecting the video, it's literally we're only making it for ourselves at this point, and then if anyone else watches it, great. I mean, maybe 200 people might see these things, you know, that stumble upon the page, but no, it's all meant for fun, and I'm glad that it can't be serious, because if you ever worked in film and television in the industry, you know how ridiculously serious people can be over things that should not be that serious.
Right.
And so as a result, these are a great relief to me to enjoy, and I'll keep doing them until I'm really bored with it.
Well, speaking of that, are you going to continue making these funny motorcycle videos?
I don't know, Ted. I mean, it really depends on the ride. It really depends on the ride. And if we can think of stuff, that might be new or interesting. But, like most ride videos, you come to a point where there is nothing new. You're showing the ride, the track, the beautiful drone shot, the guy on the bike. But if you look at these, even though these have stupid little sketches and stuff, which are diverting to a degree, after a while, you're basically doing the same thing. You're on a trail. You stop to do this. You have moments, and it's sort of So who knows? Who knows?
It's
a question I always ask myself. Do I even need? Should I do something else next time? And then you think, well, wait, there is nothing else. You have to shoot a ride video somehow, or not.
It depends on. It's like cooking. It's like you can cook the same meal over and over, but it's going to change depending upon what kind of spices you add to it.
Yes.
So
yes,
agree.
Well, as I continue on, I just like to get more absurd and more just way more absurd. Like, I've flown Richie around a couple times now. I've flown him into the barber. He crashes through the window and all that stuff. There's always some, E.T. or sci-fi element, just because that stuff makes me laugh, and it's supposed to be cheesy and look stupid. So, but I don't know what else to do except, send him to outer space. I have no idea what could top.
Endless possibilities, endless possibilities. And besides, you haven't done all of the BDRs yet. Now, do you think you're going to?
I would like to. Now that I have the time, I probably should.
Yeah.
I want to do Adirondacks so bad, and I know that's coming out this spring.
Yeah.
So that one's high on my list, and I love that they're talking about a Michigan one and other states. That are not in the West, which I'm really happy about, and so I'll be definitely looking forward to those, because I don't know, the West for me, other than Oregon and Washington, maybe the West for me is, because I've lived here so long, there's no allure for it, because I feel like I've lived in it. But when I'm in the East, it's just like glory. It's glory when I ride.
Oh, wow.
I just can't believe the colors and the trees and the moisture is so nice and all that stuff.
Well, there is the Montana BDR.
I heard
that's very nice. Of course, like Colorado,
We've talked about.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that one. But I'm gonna. I have Idaho pegged as one of a nice one.
Yeah.
Because Bill Whitaker told me it's beautiful, and I heard it's a pretty easy one. It's pretty mellow, which is good for me because I really don't want to work too hard when I'm having a nice motorcycle ride in the wilderness.
Yeah.
I like to enjoy the flora and the fauna. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go up a steep incline and barely make it to the top with rocks flying. I don't want to fall over.
I understand.
Yeah.
Do you see maybe at one point one of these short films like you're filming for just the funny videos, you see it at any point evolving where it gets to something bigger, maybe a full length feature movie?
Not a chance.
No. Not a chance. Yeah, you bring in some really mainstream actors and you just create a story around the trip, you know? I don't know.
Well, listen, I've had many ideas about adventure bikes in motion pictures because you don't see them. All you see is Harley Davidsons and gangs, and I really resent that Hollywood likes to look at motorcycles like that. I hate
that. Of course.
Yeah, it's just so boring. It's so one note, and that's typical, you know, non-riders writing a movie with riders in it. So anyway, yeah. I've thought of doing an ADV style feature, you know, narrative feature, because I now know how to the mechanics and the logistics of shooting these kind of things, but I just haven't had the correct story yet to hit me. So, but I don't think any of these comedies will be feature length. I don't think anyone could put up with them for more than 7 minutes. You know?
Well, most of them are on average like around 10 minutes long.
Oh, are they?
From what I can tell, they're. Let me see.
10 or under.
I think your longest one is 12 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's Northeast. That was when we were really full of ourselves and wanted to make an epic. There's a moose. There's a moose in that one. Just FYI. Really? Yeah.
Oh my God. Now, well, let's segue away a little bit. Now, yes, you know, let's talk about your independent films you've done. Route 30 trilogy. The Father and the Bear. Now they have a strong sense like of Americana in them. Now, do your motorcycle videos scratch that same itch for, you know, exploring those quirky corners of the world?
Yeah, well, I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania in Fayetteville, and those movies are all shot in that region.
Oh, nice.
And that's where Mabder 5 and 6 goes through as well. Mm-hmm. The MABDR, coincidentally. Those three, the trilogy and that other one you mentioned, are all shot in my home state and home area, you know, and have the flavor of what I knew growing up. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the one I was telling you about that had the Bigfoot in it, the Route 30. And those are I'm most proud of. Those are, you know, handmade films. They're very high in quality and very low in cost. And you know, if I ever did it again, I would definitely do a movie like that. I really don't like the Hollywood system and the perception of what you need to do to make a movie out here. And it usually is about who's in it and why would anyone want to see it unless, you know, some movie star was in it.
Right,
whereas,
yeah.
You know, I just give me a diverting story and some beautiful locations and I'm good. That's why I like all the British stuff, because you don't know who anybody is.
That's true. Yeah,
you're totally fine with everything about it, you know, and the British stuff. So, they're completely different. That those are legit China. Those are me being a legitimate filmmaker. These moto videos are just me being an abstinent, irrelevant, you know, irreverent guy. You know,
which making, you're allowed to do,
making videos, because they're non-commercial, non-professional.
Yeah.
So
now the Route 30 trilogies. Did you actually ride Route 30 the whole way, or was this just a portion of it?
No. Well, this portion that it takes place on is the 25 mile stretch that ran through my hometown of Route 30, of U.S. Route 30. Mm-hmm. And you know, everyone, some people don't know, but U.S. Route 30 was called the Lincoln Highway.
Yes.
And I believe it was the first transcontinental highway. It went from Jersey, Atlantic City, all the way to Oregon. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, you can still see it in parts of the maps when you look at it. It's like old Route 66.
Yeah.
It pops up here and there. But no, that section ran was literally where those movies took place. The trilogy was between Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, along Route 30. And that rides goes right through my area. I mean, I grew up on Route 30. That's what we drive into town to go to the market or go to school or whatever.
Yeah. Trilogy, how did that do for you?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was such a great experience. If anyone goes to my website and is interested in seeing them, I will send links or Blu-rays to anybody if I haven't already put links up there to watch them,
mm-hmm.
Which I might have done. They meant so much to me because they were my own personal movies, and they had nothing to do with commercial, you know, needs or wants.
Right.
And I was able to finance them because I was. A working guy in as a director in Hollywood. So my time on Scrubs in Cougar Town, which was encompassed about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And many, you know, 20, 30, 40 episodes of TV, those two shows literally financed those independent movies that I made. And when I say finance, I'm talking under $100,000 for a feature film.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
Pretty low.
Yeah. I mean,
it could have been today. It could be lower because with all the technology.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I was able to do that. No kids in college. No, you know,
mm-hmm.
no divorces, no alimony. Just so I was able to save a little bit here and there from my paychecks and create, you know, these fun independent movies, which I made with my friends, and I got to write and direct and edit and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Produce.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're fun. Yeah.
But you've got this long career as both an actor and a director, in everything TV and films. What's next for you on the film or TV side?
Man, who knows? Because I'm a freelancer and I'm not connected to any particular show anymore. I have been working for the Hallmark Channel, doing some of their Christmas movies over the last few years. Didn't get a call this year, so I don't know. I guess I'm going to just carry on,
mm-hmm.
and maybe someday, some point, I'll get another call or not. So I have no plans.
Oh, so you don't shop yourself or anything like that, right? You just rely on the industry calling you.
Well, you used to shop yourself, and when you get to be my age, they don't really, you know, they don't want to hear from you as much anymore.
Ah,
so
that's weird. Yeah. That's really bizarre. Yeah. I mean, you have a successful career. You'd think they'd be like ringing your phone every day.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast, Ted.
About
the fate of my career in the industry. It's, you know.
Well, you would think. Are you going to work on the new Scrubs?
No, I was not called for that.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah. Not a lot of people from the other than the cast, I think, were called for that one.
That's very, very interesting.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we'll see. Maybe if it goes more, maybe when they get more episodes, they might remember. But I've been in touch with Bill Lawrence, and I support him, but I'm not going to bug him. Like, you know, for work. So I got plenty to do, you know.
As far as it goes for involvement with the BDR guys, you got anything else planned with them?
Just to be a writer and a supporter.
Yeah.
While I enjoyed making their film for them, I was so nervous about pleasing them, even more so than I would be a studio, because I have such respect for them that, you know, I support, I will do whatever, but I not that they have asked, but I probably won't, you know, I'll just be a writer, supporter, and humorist for them. I think it's my best place in that organization.
So you can pretty much expect that Tim will give you a call when they're ready to do their next BDR and see if you're going to want to ride with them?
No, because I'm not really as a cat. I'd love to be a cast member, but you know, that's a very special group that needs to in that movie.
Yeah,
you know, they need to be real riders, not just knuckleheads like me. So, so I usually ride it right after they do.
Great. When are you coming back to the East Coast?
I should be there in early April.
All right.
And I've got I have two. I have a theater directing job in Pennsylvania at the Totem Pole Playhouse in July, and I'm directing The Odd Couple for that theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I grew up at that theater, and that's where I started my career. So I'm going back there to direct that and ride and do some riding while I'm there. Yeah. So that's what, and the Adirondacks, got to do the Adirondacks.
Oh, dude, Adirondacks are awesome. Yeah. I love
it's gonna
the Adirondacks.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
All right. Well, listen, John, I want to thank you very much for being on the podcast. You got any closing words for our audience who might want to do some adventure riding and maybe some filmmaking?
I think if you haven't done it, it's pretty fun to do. And adventure riding, and that just means pavement and gravel and enjoy the scenery. And that's what I love to do. You feel like you're really far away, yet you can always come out of the forest and pull into a gas station or a restaurant somewhere and find something interesting.
Yeah.
More info about me, putchfilms.com, if you want to see any links of things, or it'll lead to the YouTube page.
Excellent. John, thank you very much for being on a podcast. I really appreciate your time and the effort that you've put into this. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you when we're done, but thank you very much.
Thank you. That was very delightful, Ted. Thank you for being a great interviewer.
Thank you, sir. And thanks for joining me and John Putch here in the V-Twin Cafe, where we talked about John's film career and his funny motorcycle videos on YouTube. You can learn more about John Putch over at putchfilms.com. Links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. Hey, don't forget to get over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel and watch some of the many videos I have there. And if you would, please also like and subscribe. That would be a tremendous help to the channel and, of course, to the podcast. And if you would, please patronize our sponsors, Scorpion Helmets, Wild Ass Seats, Tobacco Motorwear, and contribute, if you can, to the Gold Star Ride Foundation, helping families of fallen soldiers. And that's it, boys and girls. For the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening. And remember, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.